Disc 3.
1 minute review of leverage. 1. Leverage equals speed. To make $1 million in a minute, you must master the principle of leverage. The more leverage you have in your value-added activity and added value activities, the easier and faster you make the money. 2. The longer the lever, the greater the impact. Enlightened millionaires know that ease and speed are the new currencies of business. Hence, enlightened millionaires create very long and strong levers. 3. Millionaires are masters at using all 5 kinds of leverage in a business world. OPM, other people's money. OPE, other people's experience. OPI, other people's ideas. OPT, other people's time. OPW, other people's work. 4. Millionaires are constantly looking for leverage. Enlightened millionaires constantly ask, how can I leverage this situation, this opportunity, this idea? To become an enlightened 1 minute millionaire, your mantra must be, where's the leverage? Where's the leverage? Point 5. There are 6 key forms of leverage that give you maximum leverage. Mentors, teams, networks, infinite networks, tools, skills, and proven systems. Apply all of these forms of leverage to a pure enlightened goal, and you are unstoppable.
Mentors.
The powerful leverage in a mentoring relationship. A Chinese proverb says, a single conversation across the table with a wise man is worth a month's study of books. The definition defines the word mentor as a wise, trusted counselor or teacher. The common definition is a coach. Very few people achieve great success without personal mentors. Here's why we need mentors. First, a mentor can give us perspective. Often we are too close to see things objectively. We're caught up in the emotions of the situation, the fear, the excitement, the wonder, the anxiety, the confusion, the overwhelm. A mentor is detached and can see things from a distance. Experience plus time equals wisdom. A mentor gives us the wisdom of a lifetime of experience. Second, a mentor gives us proficiency. A mentor fills in the gaps in our ignorance. In mastering any new task, an experienced mentor can simplify the process, guide us through the complicated parts, help us avoid the pitfalls, and warn us about the dangers. In short, a mentor helps us to avoid the school of hard knocks, the most expensive kind of education in terms of time, money, and emotional pain. A mentor gives us a shortcut. Third, a mentor gives us patience. In learning any new skill, there's a learning curve. A mentor can teach us patience as we struggle through the failure to achieve mastery. Do you know any successful person who doesn't have a mentor? Look, for instance, at the story of Warren Buffett. Buffett is the richest investor in the world, a billionaire many times over. When Buffett was a senior in college, he read a book by Benjamin Graham called The Intelligent Investor, still considered to be one of the great stock market classics. For Buffett, it was an epiphany. When Buffett learned that Graham was teaching at Columbia University, he enrolled, studied under Graham, and received a master's degree in economics. After graduation, Buffett attempted to work at Benjamin Graham's investment firm, even offering to work for free. Graham finally agreed. After repeated rejections of Buffett, he hired him 3 years later. Buffett spent the next 2 years being mentored by the famous author. At age 25, Buffett returned home to Omaha, Nebraska, and launched, with 7 investors, Buffett Associates. Buffett's original stake was $100. Within 5 years, he was a millionaire and on his way to becoming the most famous stock investor in history. Remember, there's no synergy on your own. It takes at least 2. Almost all enlightened millionaires have mentors. They recognize the need to have a mentor. It is part of their leverage. You are only as powerful as your mentors.
The mentoring model. Study anyone who's great, and you'll find that they apprenticed to a master or several masters. Therefore, if you want to achieve greatness, renown, and superlative success, you must apprentice to a master. Usually the apprenticeship is 2 years or longer. You'll want to absorb their entire body of information, learn all their sources and secrets, meet all their contacts, and study all that they studied, are studying, and will study. Learn their cognitive style. Learn to think like they think to obtain the results that they are obtaining. All masters take on assistants to do their grunt work, to help them leverage their time. Accept it. Do it better, faster, and with more upbeat attitude than anyone else. Offer constantly to go the extra mile. Anticipate the master's needs, wants, and desires. Mark Victor Hansen was a mentee and research assistant to Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller. From Fuller, Mark learned to think comprehensively and globally to make the world work for 100% of humanity. Mark worked around the clock to fulfill Bucky's requests. This included driving Bucky's wife, Anne, on errands. I was a mentee in graduate school to the business philosopher Dr. Stephen R. Covey, co-owner of the billion-dollar Franklin Covey Enterprises. From Covey, I learned the power of goals. One of my original goals was to write a book. 6 years later, the book that I wrote became a number one New York Times bestseller. Impressed with these results, Covey asked me to provide input into the original draft of Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, a book that is now an international bestseller. Once a mentee, I had now become the mentor. Decide on the disciplines that you want to master. Decide to take ownership of that awareness. Become a mentee to a great and inspiring mentor. You must want to become a mentee as much as you want your next breath of air. When you do, you'll discover a way. In business, you're either leading edge, cutting edge, dull edge, or trailing edge. You need to be at the leading edge. To be there, you must master a discipline. The quickest, safest, and easiest way to do this is to apprentice with someone who leads in that field. Absorb everything you can from the master, and then blaze forth with your own dream. Find your team and build your theme. When you do, riches will follow.
Serendipitous mentor. Our friend Doug Weed says, Goliath was the best thing that ever happened to David. As the saying goes, when a student is ready, the teacher appears. Why is this true? Because when a student is finally committed, he or she suddenly becomes aware of teachers and mentors that exist in and around them. Mentors are everywhere. There are 3 kinds of mentors. 1, serendipitous mentors. 2, hands-on mentors. And 3, hero/shiro mentors. The most common form of mentorship is serendipitous. Serendipity means to make the desirable discoveries by accident. If you're open and teachable, each person you meet can accidentally teach you something to advance your cause. Since there are no accidents, you need to practice this discipline. Every encounter, no matter how trivial, has a potential for serendipitous mentorship. Do your best to make it a 2-way exchange. You may be the serendipitous mentor for someone else, carrying just the right message or aha to lift that person to a new plane of understanding. In your conversations, keep in mind the question, who is the mentor here? A serendipitous mentor doesn't always need to be a person. It can literally be anything to cause you to change the course of your life, like a life-threatening disease, or losing a job, or reading a powerful book, or an encounter with another life form. The world's greatest marine artist, our friend Weiland, has said, once you've looked a whale in the eye, your life is never again the same. Each day, notice the serendipitous mentors that actually flow throughout your life. Remember, your problems are good. They are power in disguise. What are they trying to teach you?
The hands-on mentor. If people knew how hard I worked to get my mastery, said Michelangelo, it wouldn't seem so wonderful after all. The second kind of a mentor is called a hands-on mentor. Take a few moments to scan back over your life, and you'll probably find you've had numerous one-on-one hands-on mentors, from an athletic coach to a favorite aunt or friend. As for myself, I've counted up 42 mentors who I've worked with. Some of these relationships lasted years, others lasted just minutes, but each one came at an important turning point in my life. Many of these mentors just showed up, others I sought out, asking for their advice and help. On the journey between where you are now and your future millionaire goal, There will be dozens of points along the way where you will need to be mentored. You'll find yourself lacking an attitude, an awareness, a skill, a habit, a technique, or a strategy. Often this requires a hands-on, nitty-gritty, in-the-trenches, day-to-day kind of mentor. If the day-to-day kind of mentor doesn't spontaneously appear, you must seek him or her out. How is this done? Number one, make a list of missing resources. Write down the resources that you feel you lack to help you reach your goal. Number two, network within your own circle of contacts. You probably already know someone who knows someone who has the answers to all of your questions. Call them up and ask, do you have the answer or solution? Or do you know someone who might know the answer? Make a list and call. Use the name of the person who provided the name as a referral. Repeat the preceding questions. Number three, widen your search. Once you know that you're lacking, you can usually find the names of potential mentors in the Yellow Pages or on the internet for a price. Remember, you're seeking more than simple answers. You want a mentoring relationship, someone who can coach you to success. These types of relationships aren't cheap, but they are much less expensive than the school of hard knocks. Also remember that potential mentors will usually be extremely busy pursuing their own goals. A request for mentorship will fall at the bottom of their to-do list. The only way to move to the top of their to-do list is to find out what your mentors want. Attach yourself to one of their top priorities and help them accomplish it. In doing so, your mentor will recognize your value, and through the law of reciprocity, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, your mentor will naturally want to help you achieve your goals. In other words, give first, and then you shall receive.
Who is your Hiroshiro mentor? Warren Buffett said, "If you can tell me who your heroes are, I can tell you how you're going to turn out in life." The third type of mentor is a Hiroshiro mentor. These are your heroes and shiros who are bigger than life, your champions, your role models, your inspiration. In the corporate world, they are or have been leaders like Lee Iacocca of Chrysler, Jack Welch of General Electric, or Katherine Graham of the Washington Post. In the investment world, they are the Warren Buffetts or the Peter Lynches. In a spiritual world, you have Jesus, Moses, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Mary Baker Eddy, Joseph Smith. Each industry has its icons, alive and dead. Donald Trump, Julia Roberts, Rush Limbaugh, Cleopatra, Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller, Margaret Thatcher, Sir Winston Churchill, Diane Sawyer, John F. Kennedy, Princess Diana, Abraham Lincoln. Usually these leaders are inaccessible to the general public. Only on rare occasions can you break through to their inner circles, but that doesn't mean that you can't have access to their courage, wisdom, and insight. We encourage you to become an avid student of the lives and teachings of successful people. 1. Read the biographies and autobiographies of the people you admire. 2. Watch the Biography Channel as well as other television programs that chronicle the lives of the great or famous people. You will learn that their lives have been full of challenges and setbacks that they were able to overcome through persistence, commitment, and stamina. 3. Read newspaper and magazine articles containing information and interviews about them. 4. Study books, audios, and videos by them or about them. 5. When convenient, visit their birthplace and/or locations that made them famous. 6. When possible, have your photo taken with them and display these photos on your wall at your home and office. And finally, we encourage you to assemble a dream team of your favorite heroes and sheroes, past and present. Form an imaginary council of light consisting of your selected leaders. Imagine being able to counsel with them as if they were communicating with you in person. Imagine what they might say to you. What special counsel might they give you? During your daily meditations, imagine that you are able to draw inspiration and wisdom from your own council of light. Who are the 6 people that are 7 people that you'd put on your council of light? And then think with them imaginatively every night before you go to sleep.
The Lessons of the Cliff. There is a cliff in the Canadian Rockies reached by a short hike up a rugged mountain trail. Nestled in the basin above the cliff are three pristine alpine lakes, the Lynham Lakes, teeming with schools of huge, hungry rainbow trout. Unfortunately, the only way to reach the lakes is to traverse the steep cliff along a dangerous, narrow ledge. Let's suppose you decide to do it. Your guide coaches you across the cliff. You wouldn't want to tackle this alone, and your fingers cling to the sheer rock face as your feet dangle over a 300-foot drop. Heart pounding, you force yourself to not look down. You come to a hidden ravine and clamber up using trees and roots as leverage. And when you emerge into the upper basin, you discover three deep blue lakes ringed with majestic pines. The fishing is fantastic. You catch one with nearly every cast, dozens of fish fighting for your bait, their silver bodies flashing in the sunlight. At the end of the day, you beg your guide to return with a helicopter, anything to avoid that cliff. Not possible, he explains. Somehow you make your way back, bringing with you memories of the harrowing adventure. Later you ponder the lessons of the cliff. Lesson 1. The fishing is best where only the brave dare go. The easy lakes get fished out fast. The shores are lined with anglers. The fish are small and hard to catch. Conversely, the hard lakes are full of fish, big ones, but you have to dare to climb the cliffs to get them. The risks may be great, but the rewards are greater. If you want to prosper, look for the cliffs. Lesson 2. Always take a guide. To you, a beginner, the cliff is frightening. To your guide, it's a routine experience. No matter what the cliff in your life, a speech to a group, a sale to an important client, the launch of a new business, find a mentor who has conquered the cliff and have him or her take you. Lesson 3. Face your fear. As in all fairy tales, if you want to marry the princess, you have to slay the dragon. The greatest dragon you'll ever face is your own fear. If you can learn to live with the fear, the world is yours. Face your fear today.
Take a Millionaire to Lunch. Jean D. Lebrelle said the shortest and best way to make your fortune is to let people see clearly that it is in their interest to promote yours. Search out a millionaire a month. Request an audience, either in person, by phone, or by email. Pick the millionaire's brains. Here's a list of questions. Something magical will happen when you ask these questions. Write down the millionaire's answers. Ask him or her. Number 1, how did you make your first million? Number 2, how long did it take you? 3, how long would it take you today to make a million? 4, what is the system that you use to make your million? 5, is that system transferable and reduplicatable? 6, how long would it take you today to mentor somebody to your same level of success? 7, what would you recommend that I do to become a millionaire? 8, what's the most important lesson you ever learned? 9, how do you integrate spiritual values into your life? 10, what is a legacy that you want to leave? 11, what's your most important habit? 12, what opportunities do you see that you don't have time to take advantage of? After the interview, become quiet and reflect on what you just experienced. Ask yourself these questions. 1, what most resonated with me about this millionaire's encounter? 2, what insights or ahas do I have or did I have? 3, what specific actions am I going to take as a result of this interview? 4, what trait or quality about this person can I emulate?
Transformational learning. As my partner Mark Victor Hansen says, each one reach one, each one teach one, until all are taught. Change expert Don Wolf teaches that there are two kinds of learning, informational learning and transformational learning, or head learning and heart learning. Informational learning is predominant in our educational system. Teachers talk, students listen, take notes, take tests, get grades, and so on. It's all about memorization and regurgitation. Transformational learning is about empowering students to discover the answers for themselves. It's a slower process, but much more profound. That's why it's transformational. If we were to look at a chart comparing informational learning with transformational learning, it might go something like this. Left brain, informational learning. Right brain, transformational learning. Intellectual versus emotional. Head versus heart. Structured versus creative. Serious versus curious. Rigid versus spontaneous. Told the answer or discover the answer. Repetition, intuition. Passive involvement, active involvement. Holding back, letting go. Fear versus trust. Being the best versus being your best. Knowledge versus understanding. Uh-oh versus aha. Oh no versus oh yes. Now, I'm not saying that informational learning is bad and transformational learning is the only thing. It's a combination of both. You need both types of learning to learn the fastest. But there is very precious little transformational learning in our educational system today. We live in the age of too much information and not enough transformation. When people get stuck, it's really because they don't know enough. It's because they lack the ability to act on what they already know. Transformational learning is not about taking notes in a notebook. It's about writing the lessons on your heart and in every cell of your body so that your behavior flows effortlessly without compulsion from the wellspring of your natural desire to live the life you were born to live. God designed life to be a transformational experience. Similarly, we can't inform you into a millionaire. We can only transform you into a millionaire. The main goal of transformational learning is to cause you to experience ahas. An aha is when your awareness expands, when you get it, the light goes on and you say to yourself, aha! What did you aha today?
The third manifestation. I attract millionaire mentors. I attract successful mentors. When I'm ready, they suddenly appear. My mentors offer to mentor me and guide me to the success I desire. My mentors enjoy sharing with me their most important success secrets. I feel confident in asking my mentors for advice. My mentors intuitively know how to help me make the most important breakthroughs. I'm able to glean from my relationship with my mentors exactly what I need to launch me toward the goals that I seek. My mentors enjoy their relationship with me. It's exciting to be with individuals who possess the truth that I am seeking. My mentors willingly share, encourage, and coach me to experience and express my full genius, abilities, talents, and resources. They see more in me than I see in myself. Their gentle, sequential guidance makes all the difference to my accomplishments. My mentors know how to bring out the best in me. I study them up close and personal if possible. I cheerfully apprentice and pay my dues to my masters as they did with their masters. I read, study, and apply all they have written and all that they recommend. I meet all my mentors, friends, colleagues, and loved ones and make them part of my ever-growing million-dollar Rolodex. My life is made infinitely more meaningful with a mentor teacher who wants to be in service to my greater growth and development. I catch my mentor's passion for life and living fully and richly. I realize no one has ever achieved greatness who did not have mentors. I'm willing to have great and inspiring mentors throughout my life. I am learning from my mentors how to be a mentor myself. I'm prepared to mentor others when the opportunity presents itself.
Mentored by a Billionaire by Robert G. Allen. When I was 19 years old, I had an experience that made an indelible impression on my young mind. One summer, I was working as a driver of a Greyhound tour bus based in beautiful Lake Louise in the Canadian Rockies. I was assigned to drive a small group of wealthy tourists from the Philippines, consisting of an elderly couple, a Mr. and Mrs. Lopez, and their entourage of about a dozen family members, friends, and business associates. The Lopez family owned many successful businesses in the Philippines, including a television station, radio stations, a newspaper, and a large utility company, certainly over $1 billion in value by today's standards. At the end of my tour, the old gentleman graciously invited me to join his entourage as they continued on their journey. I was flabbergasted. The very next day, I was part of a billionaire's entourage, with a new set of clothing on my back and extra spending money in my pocket. It was like a fairy tale. After a brief stop in San Francisco at one of the Lopez family mansions, we flew straight to Manila, where I began to enjoy all the benefits of a life of luxury: maids, cooks, chauffeurs. After a few days, I was sent on a tour of the Lopez mansions in various parts of the country, from Davao in the south to Baguio in the north. I saw the mansions and the cars and was able to experience the wealth firsthand. Impressive. After several weeks, I continued with the group to Tokyo for another week of sightseeing, carte blanche. Then I returned home, not before spending 3 glorious all-expense-paid days in Hawaii. Fast forward about 7 years. I graduated from Brigham Young University and was in San Francisco on business. I dropped by the Lopez family mansion and was informed that Mr. Lopez had passed away and that the family had suffered a reversal of fortune. Turns out that when President Marcos declared martial law in the Philippines in 1972, he took more than mere power. He seized all the media outlets, newspaper, TV, radio, and nationalized them, which is just another word for legalized grand larceny. During the ensuing chaos, the president of one of the television stations was kidnapped. The kidnapped man happened to be the son of Mr. Lopez. Mr. Lopez received a phone call shortly thereafter in America and was given a choice: relinquish his rights to all his Philippine holdings, or his son would be killed. I doubt the old man took more than a moment to make his decision. The son was released, the assets were transferred to the Philippine government. Imagine receiving a telephone call like that, to give up everything you own to spare the life of one of your children. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Over the years, as my fortunes have waxed and waned and waxed again, I have tried to never forget this billion-dollar lesson.
1 minute review of mentoring. 1. Every successful person has mentors. A mentor is a shortcut to perspective, proficiency, and patience. 2. Mentoring is a powerful form of leverage. Drawing your mentor's experience is the quickest, safest, easiest way to climb the millionaire mountain. 3. Mentors are everywhere. Each person you meet can accidentally teach you something to advance your cause. 4. Mentors don't need to be people. Anything that causes you to change a course in life, a life-threatening disease, losing a job, reading a book, or an encounter with an animal, can serve as a mentor. 5. Constantly seek out mentoring relationships. When you find yourself lacking in anything, an attitude, an awareness, a skill, a habit, a technique, a strategy, seek a mentor to show you the shortcut. 6. Assemble a dream team of your favorite heroes and sheroes, present and past. Form an imaginary council of light consisting of your selected leaders. Imagine being able to counsel with them as if you're communicating with you in person. 7. Set a goal to search out at least 1 millionaire a month. Request an audience, either in person, by phone, or by email, to pick your millionaire mentor's brains. 8. The best kind of mentor is a transformational mentor. A transformational mentor creates a context in which you experience ahas.
Teams.
The powerful leverage in a dream team. Success is not a solo project. It needs to be shared. And success is not a competition. There's plenty of it to go around. You have to work with a team that shares the same dream or objective. A team is part of your lever. It makes success quicker and easier. It's all about synergy, the concept of adding 1 plus 1 and getting 11, not 2. People working together can accomplish far more than they can separately. Incredible power can be released when people work together. Associating with like-minded, success-oriented, joyful individuals, a dream team is one of the most amazing success tools that exists. Anyone who achieves great success, anyone, must have a dream team. Instant solutions exist in dream teaming. This process helps you to take your ideas and expand them into greatness. What characteristics should your dream team possess? Successful dream teams consist of at least two or more people with a common purpose, where both hearts and heads are in harmony with one another. Always be on the lookout for the best people, and then ask them to join your team. Attitude is critical. It can make or break your team's success. Avoid selfish, negative, or egotistical people. This is your team that you're building. Don't make exceptions to this. There should be a spirit of joy and contribution within the group. Only dedicated, committed, joyful dream teams achieve great success. Remember, the relationships between you and each member of your dream team must be confidential. When you have the right dream team, its members will help to identify bad habits that are hindering your success and help you change them. Your team members will see more in you than you see in yourself. They will be there to cheer you when you become weary. Enlightened millionaires have dream teams.
Your dream team. The all-wise providence made us incomplete. You and your team work like a flashlight. It takes two well-charged batteries to effectively function. Teams help you manifest your greatest earning power, talents, resources, connections, goals, money, and abilities. Teams make your life brighter. Teamwork leverages you financially, corporately, entrepreneurially, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, and familially. When you have the right team, you're energized, encouraged, empowered, and ready and able to accomplish ever more in ever less time. Togetherness creates great strength, power, and possibility for each individual. Together, everyone achieves miracles. If you have one arrow, it is breakable. But bind together seven arrows, put a rubber band around them, and you have an almost unbreakable force. Greatness depends on two or more people working in a spirit of cooperative harmony, though one or more of the players may be invisible. Search out people to team with you. Dream teaming starts in one's mind. The originator involves and enrolls another person to join an on-purpose effort. It's similar to a marriage, where two join together to give 100% to the relationship. They become bonded and unstoppable. Choose to form your own group or groups. Attract to your group the best, keenest, brightest, wisest, most comprehensively cooperative minds available. Pick enthusiastic people with big potential futures who want to grow, glow, discover, and be all they can become. Make sure each team member is aligned with your vision and values. Only admit new members with unanimous consent after a 90-day probationary period. It's critical to have positive thinking people in your group. Positive people create a soul force that aligns each one to plug into invisible force, sometimes called God. Negative people are like holes in a balloon. How high does a balloon go with a hole in it? Make regular team meetings a life-enhancing priority. Meetings need to be upbeat, enriching, encouraging, helpful, beneficial to each member, and to the collective group as well. When done properly, each individual's abilities, talents, resources exponentially expand. Each life instantly improves. Dream teams are worthwhile, important, and omni-profitable. Enlightenment is an awakened awareness.
Extraordinary dream teams. Dream teaming occurs when two or more individuals come together in the spirit of cooperative harmony to accomplish some goal, activity, or result. Almost all of the great accomplishments and miraculous achievements of history were brought about through the power of this principle. Jesus used dream teaming. He personally selected 12 men, and the world has never been the same. Orville and Wilbur Wright did what was said to be impossible by building and flying the first airplane. Andrew Carnegie gathered a team around him and built the world's biggest steel manufacturing company. Carnegie went on to become one of our greatest philanthropists, funding more than 3,000 public libraries throughout the world. Likewise, Bill Gates and Paul Allen started Microsoft and became two of the richest men of all time and are now becoming two of the world's greatest living philanthropists. Thomas Edison, the world's greatest inventor, had many partners, Edison's most famous Dream Team member was Henry Ford. When Mr. Edison's New Jersey laboratory burned to the ground, Mr. Ford arrived the next morning and handed Edison a check for $750,000 and encouraged him to start building again. Ford would not accept interest on his loan. He just wanted his friend to get back to work. Great success is almost always the result of dream teaming. TEAM is an acronym that means together, everyone achieves miracles. Can you think of other great teams? Walt Disney and his brother Roy, Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan, Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen combined, activated, and accentuated each other's talent to create the phenomenally successful Chicken Soup for the Soul series, which has sold more than 80 million books worldwide, with 29 best-selling licensed products, including calendars, greeting cards, and games. Your greatness lies in your ability to create an extraordinary dream team. Begin your team now, whether you're ready or not. Start with people you know. Search out an associate whom you trust, respect, and admire, someone who wants to work with you to accomplish great things, and who has core competencies that are strong where you are weak, and vice versa. As you grow and develop, add more team members and/or form new dream teams. Something magical happens when two or more people combine their single dream to form a dream team. List the names of the people you'd like to have on your dream team. Think about all these names, and then pare down this list to half a dozen who will agree to play on your team.
An aligned team. Anthony Robbins said, "Most people's lives are a direct reflection of their peer groups." As I mentioned earlier, there's a tremendous advantage in not pursuing your goal on your own. No matter how talented you are, you cannot synergize on your own. An aligned team always outperforms an individual. That is why your dream team is so important. However, there can be a downside when you invite people onto your team. Granted, they bring their gifts and perspectives that are key components to creating synergy, but they also bring their values. Values are the core beliefs that rudder your life. They define the very essence of your being. These values must be in line on your dream team. The team's results are meaningful only when the path to their creation is in sync with shared values. No matter how much money is made, without shared values, disruption, dysfunction, and disappointment will be the result. Failure to live your values is not a setback, it is a real failure. We mentioned earlier that each new member on your dream team needs to be in a 3-month probation. During that time, you can observe the new member's behavior. Does this person have integrity, the passion, the love, the commitment needed? If not, is he or she willing to change? Not everyone is going to be in touch with these values or even understand their importance. Often, the context of your values, clearly stated and acted upon, will mold the member's thinking. New team members learn and incorporate your values into their behavior. When this happens, you'll have a very strong allies and a great dream team membership. If a person does not embrace your core values, he or she needs to be removed. Such an action, tough as it may be, will ultimately benefit everyone. You keep the rudder of your team strong in your journey on course, and you liberate the person to find another group that is more aligned with his or her values. We recommend that you use our Enlightened Millionaire Values Survey. Please go to 1MinuteMillionaire.com and log on to Enlightened Millionaire Values Survey and follow the instructions. It is a short but critical diagnostic instrument that reveals your values. It can also provide you with similar information on potential or actual team members.
Creating your dream team. All it takes is a dream, a team, and a theme to create a stream of perpetual income. We all have the capacity to be creative and capable. However, as mentioned earlier, with a dream team, you create synergy, where the sum of the parts is far greater than the whole. Aligned people working together accomplish far more than anyone working alone. With a great team, you have better ideas, plans, and execution. One method to create the best dream team is to use objective instruments as part of your evaluation process. A number of popular tests and profiles are available to help you. Most of them identify personality traits and recommend ways to improve your weak areas. For your dream team, we suggest you do the opposite. We ask you to stay just the way you are. We want to measure you to find your strengths and capitalize on them. It's best to start with yourself. This allows you to determine what your work strengths are. Once you understand your strengths, then look for others who have complementary abilities. This way you can hand off your weakness work to someone who has strength in that area. We recommend the HOTS team process to select your dream team. HOTS, H-O-T-S, is a short diagnostic instrument found on our website that reveals your strengths. It can also provide you with similar information on potential or actual team members. The key is to have each team member do what she or he does best and to make sure the dream team has strengths in each area needed for success. When this is done, you have a high-impact team that produces maximum results with minimum effort. Please go to our website, www.oneminutemillionaire.com, and log on to the HOTS process and follow the instructions. This is a critical step in creating your dream team. Study this information very carefully. If you already have teammates, then have them go through the HOTS process too. Once you discover your strengths, you will know what other types of people you will need on your team. This way, you'll be designing your dream team based on objective data, based on highly reliable research. When this is done, you will know who you should ask to do specific activities. The benefits of using everyone's strengths and avoiding their weaknesses speed your ability to manifest riches. An aligned team will always outperform an individual. We're providing you with a predictable process to do that, to have an aligned team. When this is done properly, you will be unstoppable. By the way, if you're wondering what HOTS stand for, we'll talk about it here in just a few moments.
The four types of work. According to the wonderful research of Alan Fadden and Marie West, the most project-oriented work breaks down into four categories. Solutions, brainstorming options and ideas to solve problems and take advantage of opportunities. Strategies, picking the highest priority ideas and making a plan of action. Analysis, figuring out what can go wrong with your solutions. Results, converting the plan of action into a concrete system, then getting it done. Four types of workers correlate with four types of work. Hares, some people call them rabbits, but we're going to call them hares. Hares, idea people who think randomly. They love to come up with ideas. They usually get bored with an idea once they've thought it through. They're creative. Others may complain that they don't have a lot of follow-through. Owls. These people love to prioritize and plan a strategy for success. When you tell them an idea, they instantly tell you the next steps to take to make it happen. They are go-getters who like to make connections and create action plans. Turtles. These people believe that slow, steady wins the race. They are naysayers, who are suspicious of new ideas. They believe in tradition, proven solutions, and not doing anything risky. They're good at pointing out problems and seeing around corners to know what might go wrong. They allow the team to simulate most failure at the concept stage, thus saving money and time. Squirrels. These detail-oriented people are great step-by-step workers. They think and act in a methodical, logical way. They keep things organized and running smoothly. Give them their exact steps and expectations, and they perform beautifully. You need to have at least one of each work style on your team. Most people have only one predominant work style and one backup. If you have a team of only two people, you should ideally have a combination in each person. One person's got to be a hare and an owl, and the other a turtle and a squirrel. Or one person's got to be a hare and a turtle, and the other person's got to be an owl and a squirrel. This way, you'll have someone who is good at each kind of work. Your team can break down in a number of ways. As long as you have people representing each work style, without one, you're in danger. Without two, you face disaster. Which are you? A hare? A squirrel? An owl? Or a turtle?
Putting your dream team together. As Andrew Carnegie said, no man becomes rich unless he enriches others. After your team members have completed the HOTS diagnostic online, you'll discover which one has dominant strengths that you need and which one has dominant weaknesses. You'll find that the hares are idea makers, the owls are the strategists, the turtles are the analyzers, and the squirrels are the detail workers. If any one of these work styles is missing on your dream team, they need to be filled. If you only have idea hares or strategy owls, then your team will have lots of ideas and no follow-through. Have you ever been on a team where there was a lot of enthusiasm for new ideas and people even began to work on them and then nothing happened? These teams need turtles to slow them down in order to make a reasonable plan. They also need squirrels to efficiently fulfill the plan. A team of analysis turtles and detail squirrels can run a good system, yet they will lack the innovative ideas and products to move forward. If you only have idea hares and analysis turtles, you'll have two sides engaging in endless debate. Turtles think hares are out of control with harebrained ideas. Hares feel like turtles are just critical jerks. The turtles will constantly overrule the hares' ideas. While working together, they will feel frustrated, morale will suffer, and little action will take place. One particularly creative hare became vice president of an advertising agency that had a few hares, many turtles, and only one owl. The company was having difficulty instigating fresh campaigns and attracting new business. The vice president brought in outside owls to work on projects. The company's revenue went from $7 million to $29 million to $44 million in successive years. Having a balanced team is an essential step on the journey of the one-minute millionaire.
Dream Team Speed. Now that you have this fabulous team, what do you do to optimize it? You delegate the work that they don't do well. You may think that's impossible. Won't someone get stuck with all the dirty work, you might ask? No, because every member of your balanced HOTS team likes work that someone else in the team doesn't like. For example, what about those expense reports the hare never turns in? The squirrel gets a sense of accomplishment from filling in those neat little columns and having it all balanced. And what about the sales meeting that paralyzes a squirrel? Your owl loves doing this activity. There is no dirty work, just the wrong person doing the wrong work. So it's time for a work swap. Everyone delegates his or her dirty work to someone else who loves it. This is a win-win at its best. This can triple what gets done, because what we hate to do bores us, and what bores us slows us down. Speed, we said, is a new currency in business. Here is how you dramatically increase your team speed. 1. Have all team members list all their daily basics. 2. Label each task, hare, owl, turtle, squirrel, by putting H-O-T or S next to each one. 3. Take all the labeled tasks that are not part of your profile and trade them with the appropriate someone whose HOTS profile, not their job description, matches the labels you've given the task. 4. Continue this trading process until the tasks of your job match your personal profile. How far off the profiles were from the task demanded determines the gains in productivity. Doing tasks this way will allow everyone to work faster and be happier, and in the long run, become richer.
The speed meeting, how to get maximum benefits from your team. Most people hate meetings. They find them unproductive and frustrating. At the end of a meeting, people often complain they feel tired and deflated. Certain no action will result. As Marshall Thurber says, every great idea is born drowning. This means that the best ideas have plenty of things wrong with them. This doesn't mean they should be dismissed. Yet in most meetings or collaborations, an idea with anything wrong with it gets shot down as unworkable. Just as it is born, someone else, often a turtle, points out its faults and it dies. An idea must have time to grow, to be supported. Then when its time has come, it can be selected and perfected. This means that those cautious, risk-averse turtles get to express their concerns, and the nimble-minded hares in turn get to come up with solutions that will fix the problems and make the idea stronger than ever. The secret is in timing. There's a time to create, to imagine, and to dream. Initially, ideas should get nothing but support. Only after that has happened should the naysayers have a chance to bring in their fears and foreboding. This way, your dream team can support its own brilliance instead of talking itself out of it. Number one, conduct a positive brainstorming session. Everyone involved in the project gets to play. Except for the owl, the whole group spends 10 minutes writing down all of their ideas for solving the problem, helping the client, or whatever the task. Next, every person in the group shares all the ideas on his or her list. No one is allowed to say a negative or judgmental thing at this time. Participants can only make statements that support or further the idea. Step number two, determining the process. Once the list is complete, everyone leaves the room except the owl. The owl has a special instinct for priorities that will actually work. Owls recognize brilliance. They have an innate ability to see the gems in different ideas and combine them into something even greater. The owl selects those ideas that have the most potential and promise. The other ideas are collected and put in an idea bank for future brainstorming. Step number three, identify the drawbacks. The turtles join the owl without the hares or squirrels present and are asked to use their strengths to blow holes in the idea. You give turtles their greatest dream by asking, "Tell me everything that could go wrong with this idea." Usually, no one welcomes their well-intentioned warnings of doom. Turtles share with the owl every problem they have with the idea, and then they leave. Step number four, problem solve. Now the hares come back into the room to join the owl. They're asked to solve these problems. This step is repeated as many times as necessary for the hares to satisfactorily solve what the owl agrees are all the major problems with the idea. For a more detailed description of how to run a HOTS meeting, log on to Speed Meeting at the OMM website, www.oneminutemillionaire.com.
The fourth manifestation. I attract my dream team. Team means together everyone achieves miracles. T stands for together. To become super successful, I attract the perfect dream team. With the right dream and the right team, I know I can accomplish miracles. The E in the acronym stands for everyone. I know where I'm weak and where I'm unique. I attract people who are unique where I am weak. My dream team is comprised of individuals who are dedicated to the same goals. We are like-minded. We respect, depend on, and trust one another. The A stands for accomplishes. My dream team has access to all the resources we need, the capital, the information, the markets, the insights, and the contacts. We work together seamlessly with effortless effort. M stands for miracles. I am supported. I feel supported from the top down and inside out. Because I positively and correctly support myself and others, all others lovingly, correctly, and completely support me. My life works. It's full of miracles. I am a reverse paranoid. I expect everyone to benefit me. I savor my relationships, friendships, and family. I just keep getting better all the time. The Win-Win Real Estate Company. Marshall Thurber came to San Francisco in the late 60s to attend law school. He was immediately taken with the classic beauty of the city's Victorian buildings. While still in law school, Marshall borrowed $10,000 from his grandmother and purchased his first rundown Victorian in Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco. Taking his cue from the free spirits in the neighborhood, he transformed the exterior by using bright, high-contrasting colors. Immediately, he sold it for a large profit. Suddenly, it hit him. Why not make San Francisco more beautiful by transforming its Victorians into painted ladies? Being a dreamer, Marshall knew he couldn't do this alone. He needed a dream team. He found a perfect pair in Robert Cassell and Bill Raymond. United in vision and mission, the three formed the Hawthorne Stone Real Estate and Investments. In the next 3 years, they transformed over 100 buildings. The purchase criteria were always the same. If they couldn't add value immediately, they didn't buy. One project was a 287-unit apartment building in Ventura, California. By buying the complex's apartments and converting them into condominiums, they were able to sell each unit to the tenants at substantially below market value. Initially, the conversion application was rejected by the city's planning department. On appeal, however, the decision was unanimously overturned by the city's Board of Supervisors because hundreds of tenants attended the hearings demanding the right to transform themselves from renters to condominium owners. The tenants bought their units at far below market value, a win. The city got an increase in tax base, a win. The salesperson who found the project got part of the increased value, a win. And Hawthorne Stone Partners turned $100,000 investment into $3 million in 90 days. 1 minute review of dream teams. 1. You need a team to obtain your dream. Success is not a solo project. 2. Synergy is a combining of 1 plus 1 and getting 11. The synergy of a team gives you maximum leverage. 3. Values are the core beliefs that rudder your life. No matter how much money is made, without shared values, disruption, dysfunction, and disappointment will result. Failure to live your values is not a setback. It is a real failure. Take an Enlightened Millionaire Value Survey. Go to 1MinuteMillionaire.com and discover your core values. 5. Each new member of your dream team must be on a 3-month probation. If a team member doesn't share your core values, he or she needs to be removed. 6. Determine what your natural strengths are. Then look for others who have complementary abilities. This way, you hand off your weakness work to someone who has it as a strength in that area. 7. Determine if you are a hare, an owl, a turtle, or a squirrel. Go to 1MinuteMillionaire.com and take our hot survey to determine your natural strengths. It is a critical step in creating your dream team. 8. There's no dirty work, just a wrong person doing the wrong work. Approach each team task with the hot survey results in mind. 9. Every great idea is born drowning. Initially, all ideas should be supported. After that has happened, the naysayers are given a chance to express their fears and foreboding. This way, your dream team supports its brilliance rather than its talking itself out of it. Conduct speed meetings for maximum results.
Networks.
The powerful leverage in a network. As Kevin Kelly said in the New Rules for the New Economy, since a relationship involves two members investing in it, its value increases twice as fast as one's investment. Your network of relationships increases your leverage. The more connections you have, the more leverage you possess. Whatever the investment made by two people in a relationship, there is a stickiness to it. This is because ending the relationship means both parties lose not only what they put into the relationship, but also lose what the other person put into it. One principle for extending your network lever is weak ties. Most people intuitively feel it is their close relationships and strong ties that are most important. In fact, in most cases, it is just the opposite. Your weak ties are more important. For example, when you're seeking new information, you'll soon discover that you have a lot in common with your close relations. These people have enjoyed a lot of the same experiences and share similar viewpoints with you and with one another. Most information they possess, you are likely to already know. Your weak ties, by the very fact that they are weak in nature, occupy a different world than you. They are much more likely to know something unknown to you or your close friends. Cultivating a network of weak or loose ties is an enormous advantage to you, particularly since we live in an information economy. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book The Tipping Point, writes about connectors. These are people who know an extraordinary number of people. Connectors are masters of weak ties. They possess a curiosity, self-confidence, sociability, and energy that makes them powerhouses in creating large networks. Their special gift is in bringing the world together. In the late 1960s, Stanley Milgram did a wonderful experiment to determine how closely humans are connected and linked together. Out of his experiment emerged the general concept of 6 degrees of separation. This means that all of us, through our social networks, are within 5 or 6 connections to anyone else on the planet. Most people do not instinctively cultivate weak tie relationships. However, to make large sums of money quickly, you need to hone this skill. You must master the strength of the weak tie. Remember, the bigger your network, the more leverage you have.
Network your way rich. You can network your way to riches. Every rich person who has gone before you has built a million-dollar Rolodex, and you can too. Networkers develop and nurture contacts for information, support, advice, referrals, and resource utilization, as well as to reach out and connect with whomever they want, whenever they want. To make vast sums of money fast, you need to have relationships with those who generate successful results fast, competently, and consistently. When Lee Iacocca became chairman of the essentially bankrupt Chrysler Corporation, he brought with him a list of 200 individuals who he had kept track of in the auto industry. Lee knew who to call to get Chrysler back on a fast track again. His Rolodex was the key to achieving superlative results immediately. Like Lee, you can start to build a Rolodex to grow rich in your niche. Each industry has only a handful of superstars. You need to study them, read their books, listen to their speeches, watch their videos, befriend them, and be close to them, and get to be part of the action. You can meet them at the National Trade Association meetings. Offer to do some task or assignment that they need done. Outperform yourself and show your stuff. Every current superstar apprenticed eagerly to some industry giant. It's your objective to match and surpass their greatness. While you're apprenticing, collect the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the people you meet. Make yourself eminently likable. Develop an above-average handshake, a magnetic eye contact, a radiant presence. Choose to serve greatly for the sake of serving. Help everyone whom you can help. Always go the extra mile and put universe in your debt. Create relationships, the hinges of which will never rust but get deeper and more meaningful over time. Stay in touch personally by fax and phone and computer. Have outings, parties, events, seminars to which you remember to invite your clients and friends. I annually renew my marriage vows to my wife of over 24 years. We invite over 500 friends, relatives, clients to an unforgettable wedding-themed party every year. Cabot Robert, the Dean of American Speakers, says, "You have to make contacts to get contracts. You got to multiply your exposure. You are the center of your network. Your network creates your net worth, because at some level, all business is done through people. You will see the truth of this in every biography and autobiography that you study. As you build a superb network, your MQ, your motivation quotient, goes up because you're constantly inspired and excited to be an insider's insider. Create a list now of 200 people you want to meet, study with, grow with, talk to, spend time with, and imitate until you can emulate, match, and surpass. You'll be astounded how fast you synchronize in time and space with these folks. You will automatically become part of the who's who by association. In networking, it's who you know, who they know, and also who knows you. Choose to make yourself well known. Get a reputation that everyone likes, trusts, respects, and admires. You are here to make a significant contribution. You can do so more easily with a strong and well-established network. Start at once, whether you're ready or not."
Networks of networks. As Tim Sanders says, "Someday this will be true for all of us. Our network will equal our net worth." A traditional way to grow your social network is one person at a time. This, however, is very slow. In a networked world, those who network the networks gain the most leverage. They affiliate with larger social networks. These network affiliations provide loose affiliations similar to the weak ties. There is a myriad of existing networks, and their web of connections is huge. What are your interests and experiences? Inventory the topics you can intelligently talk about. Once you have this, search your networks that relate to your list. Go beyond the obvious professional networks. Search engines on the internet offer an efficient way to look for these networks. Typing in keywords related to your interests or experiences will turn up networks you never knew existed. As an experiment, go to your favorite search engine and type in the 5 letters LOHAS, LOHAS, and see what you find. Hint: LOHAS is an acronym for Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability. Did you know there was a growing network related to this? This network is a large, rapidly growing market in the United States and an even larger one in Europe, made up of consumers who make their buying decisions based on their values of environmental and social justice issues. Do you have any connections to those who affiliate with this network? Would it be useful to affiliate with it? These are the networking questions you need to continually ask. These weak tie networks become enormously useful in terms of access to people and information normally outside your close networks. One way to strengthen your weak tie networks is to give something away for free that is valuable to network members. Givers gain is the networking motto. It brings attention to you and it builds trust. Do not expect reciprocity. Those who are excellent network builders don't expect a specific return. The return is name recognition and trust. With recognition and trust in place, you can mine the network when needed. Two excellent books to read about how to build and maintain a powerful network are number one, Networking with Millionaires by Thomas J. Stanley, and Love is the Killer App, How to Win Business and Influence Friends by Tim Sanders. Once you've created a network, do whatever it takes to maintain it. The golden rule of networking is, be very quick to build connections and extremely slow to break them.
Your million-dollar Rolodex. Metcalfe's law, the value of your network grows in proportion to the square of the number of users. Where are your acres of diamonds? Certainly you'll find them hidden all around you in your own talents, skills, and abilities. You'll also find them right in your own Rolodex. That's why we call it your million-dollar Rolodex. The average person knows at least 250 people. Remember, each of these 250 people also lives in the middle of his or her own acres of diamonds. Then, each of these 250 people also knows another 250 people. So instantly, you have access to 62,500 people, 250 times 250, who are also living in the middle of their own acres of diamonds. The possibilities are endless. That's why it's so important to build and nurture your million-dollar Rolodex. Here's how. First, set a goal to build your Rolodex, working on it weekly, if not daily. Add at least one name a day of somebody you want to work with, grow with, and get rich with. Your goal is to have multiple contacts in multiple fields. Stay in touch at least twice a year by email blast or phone call or letter or face-to-face, preferentially. Rate each person in your Rolodex with the letters A to D. A are those with the largest databases and the greatest potential and opportunities. Spend the most time cultivating your relationships with A's. Narrow your list to 100 eagles, your A list of top contacts. Your Rolodex is where all the money is, because it forms the beginning of your personal business database. One of the highest forms of marketing leverage is to contact the owner of a large database and have him or her agree to endorse your product or service to their entire database. The fastest way to market a product is to focus exclusively on the owners of databases, networks of networks, as opposed to building your own customer list. Remember, the person with the largest network of Rolodexes wins. The fifth manifestation, I am a millionaire. I am a millionaire. I think like a millionaire, I talk like a millionaire, I walk like a millionaire, I believe, feel, and act like a millionaire. Like a radio that's tuned to one frequency, I am tuned to the millionaire's frequency. I continually condition my mind to think rich, abundant, prosperous thoughts. I talk about the endless possibilities to all who will listen. I read what millionaires read. I soak up biographies and autobiographies of millionaires and billionaires. I drink in their wisdom, insights, and deep understandings. I think about creating valuable million-dollar business enterprises during the day. I dream about them at night. I enjoy creating million-dollar enterprises. I'm creating multiple millions, honestly, ethically, and morally. I'm a wise steward over my money. I master my money. My money does not master me. I love to serve. I realize that it is the quantity and quality of my services rendered with a positive mental attitude that grants me unlimited, overflowing, ever-flowing compensation. I'm constantly rendering increasingly better service. The better I serve, the more I make. I love challenges. I conquer my wealth-building mountains with glee and joy in my heart. There's a banquet of prosperity ready and waiting for each of us. I cheerfully help others on their journey to wealth, riches, and true spiritual abundance. Being a millionaire means I live the abundant, balanced life, growing, serving, and sharing. It's great to be a millionaire.
The Stick-to-itiveness Story. One day in 1948, a machine shop manager and inventor named George de Mistral went on a hike with his dog near his home in the Swiss Alps. They came back covered with burrs. At first annoyed while plucking them off, he became intrigued. He wondered what made them stick so well to cloth. Placing a burr under his microscope, he saw small hooks that burrowed into the little hoops within the clothing fabric. The idea of a hook-and-loop fastener was born. However, commercial production of hook-and-loop tape turned out to be no easy task. He set out for Lyon, France, to present the concept to textile experts. They laughed at him. But one weaver took an interest in de Mistral's idea. The two began working together and succeeded in producing a workable prototype. De Mistral then found a Swiss loop manufacturer who agreed to manufacture their product. But it proved to be too difficult, prompting the manufacturer to give up. De Mistral was forced to take on the task alone. For months, he carried out various experiments. Months went by, still no solution. He had lost all of his backer support. He went broke. Desperate, de Mistral retreated to a mountain cabin to think the problem over. Upon his return, he recontacted his friend, the weaver, to discuss a new approach. The two built a special loom that worked. An investor agreed to finance the venture. De Mistral named the new fastener Velcro, Vel for velvet and Cro for crochet. He patented it in 1955 and by 1959 was selling more than 60 million yards of the material per year. Last year, the company had total annual sales of over $250 million and it employed 3,300 people. George de Mistral's 8 years of perseverance paid off handsomely.
1 minute review of networking. 1. A network of relationships increases your leverage. The more connections you have, the more leverage you possess. 2. One principle for extending your network lever is weak ties. Most people intuitively feel it is their close friendships and strong ties that are the most important. In fact, in most cases, your weak ties are more important. 3. You must master the strength of the weak tie. Most people do not instinctively cultivate weak tie relationships. However, to make large sums of money quickly, you need to hone this skill. 4. Those who network the networks gain the most leverage. The value of your network is the square of the number of people in it. 5. Givers gain is our networking motto. Give something away for free that is valuable to network members. It brings attention to you and it builds trust. Do not expect reciprocity. 6. Once you've created a network, do whatever it takes to maintain it. The golden rule in networking is be very quick to build connections and extremely slow to break them.
This book is continued on Disc 4.